Our speaker today, Silviana, is not used to give speeches. So I want to recognize all the effort, thought, and love that she has put into this message for today. During these last couple of weeks, she has shown a great spirit and huge potential during the work, during preparing this service for us.
Silviana Hernandez is a young mother of two daughters, Jaylene, 10 years old, Ileana, 8 years old, and one son, Esteban, who is 2 years old. She currently is a stay-at-home mother. After high school, she worked as an energy screener at Skagit Community Action. She also worked as an assistant child care provider. She loves to cook and bake. Silviana hopes to continue her formal education and go to the college.
So, Silviana, can you please unmute yourself? We're eager to hear you. Thank you.
Hello, I just wanted to give thanks to Sally and Jorge for inviting me to present. As you can probably notice, I am very nervous. I haven't done presentations in a while. The last time I ever presented was in high school in my senior year at a migrant leaders conference. So it's been a while, but I hope you guys were able to enjoy the documentary that I was a part of. And now I just wanted to share a little bit about my life after high school and what it's been like. Some people might call it emotional, like, roller coaster ride. I've dealt with a lot of disappointments and achievements in my life. Right after high school, I went to college. I was there for about a year, but due to having a difficult time being motivated and not being able to afford childcare, I ended up dropping out. All these challenges made it very hard for me to be motivated. It just made it easier for me to just drop out. And I haven't really, I wanted to go back to school, but due to COVID and things that were not planned in my life, it's been hard. After I dropped out, a year later, I got the courage to move out on my own with my partner, and we moved out on our own in an apartment. We were living in our apartment for a couple of months, but after living there for a couple of months, we ran into problems with our apartment, and our apartment started having issues, and our landlord wasn't solving like the things that were wrong with our apartment, and then we fell into financial problems. I was very disappointed in myself because I had to move in back with my mom because I didn't have money saved up to move to pay for a deposit for a different apartment. After I moved back in with my mom, I started working at Community Action in the energy department, helping low-income families with their heating bill. I was very proud of myself and excited because I got a job where I could use my bilingual skills to help out the Hispanic community. I was able to help people who needed that extra support of not being able to understand the documents that were in English or that needed help translating. I was able to, you know, understand them and have more sympathy with them because I've dealt with having to reach out for help when my mom was a single mother back then in my life. So working there was a great achievement for me, but it was also one of the hardest jobs I had because I had to learn how to deal with how to come back home. And even though I couldn't help everyone and I wanted to, I had to find a way that I could do with to help I don't know. I'm sorry. Sorry. Anyways, so shortly after working there, I had to make the toughest choice of resigning my job because I felt like it was best for my kids' health and well-being. I had to seek professional help for my son because he was having behavioral problems and he needed help with that. So with the help of his doctor, he was able to receive physical and occupational therapy. I was going with him to those two things twice a week. With those two things, he has improved so much. My life ever since then, my life hasn't been very interesting. I've been just home taking care of my kids and keeping them healthy. But this year has been quite interesting because I had another child, and then my daughter started staying home with her, started doing with the whole COVID thing. She had to stay home and do education at home. But in the beginning of November, my whole family was infected with COVID. We're a family of nine, since I am living with my mom. It's been very hard because my mom has lupus, and so it took her a while to recover and feel better. With the help of the over-counter medicine and home remedies, she was able to recover and she is now doing well. Me and my siblings didn't get the worst of it, but she did. It was the toughest month because we couldn't really all isolate independently since we do live in a 3-bedroom mobile home. But we did the best so we could stay healthy and keep my mom healthy. Thankfully, we had some money saved to be able to pay for our rent and bills for the following month. I couldn't imagine what we could have done, what would have happened if we didn't prepare and if we didn't save the money that we did to pay for our rent. I hope within the next year, I can go back to college and finish my education. It is something that I look forward to doing because I want to continue learning and improving as a person. I hope to soon also get a place of my own and get back on my feet because I want to give the best for my kids and give them their own home. I know it won't be easy, but I'm willing to do whatever I need to do and work hard so I can give them the best and so I can be someone important and help my community. And that's all I have for today. Thank you for listening to me. I know I started a lot. I'm very nervous, like I said, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys might have about me or about what I've done in the past. But yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Silviana. A great testimonial. Shows a lot of resilience and committed to your own personal growth as you contribute to the community. And I think the conversation can move really easy into just knowing that the Hispanic community has to face additional challenges that many times we don't see, even though we want to know about them. So let's take this opportunity to ask or share any thoughts about equity and Hispanics and topics about her experience during the movie. Who would like to start? Go ahead, Indra.
Well, my first question for her is, what program would you like to be in college when you go back?
When I go back to college, I want to go into social work because I want to work with helping people and not just people, but I want to focus in working with kids and finding, especially migrant kids, because I know I can connect with them. I feel like I can have a better understanding what they're going through and help them find the resources that they need.
Understandable.
After watching the video last week, I know a couple of us were wondering, how did that start back in middle school? Can you tell us a little of the history of making that original video?
Yes, it started, Miss Blackmore, she was the migrant leader, graduation specialist for middle school at the time, and she was the one who ran the migrant leaders club. And before it was just girls, but then it ended up, it's a long story, but before it was called just migrant leaders girls, and it was just girls. And that's where I met the other four girls in there, and she chose five of us to go to a summer camp thing.
Yeah,
technology. I can't even remember. Yeah, and so we went there, and being there, we were in workshops, and in one of the workshops, we got to decide what we wanted to like document or talk about or make a video of, and we decided we wanted to make a video of who we were and like help educate the community about what we were going through back then and what we had to deal with. That's how the first documentary started. And then, so our lives went on. And then in high school, Ms. Blackmore was telling us how a lot of community members wanted to know what our life has been since middle school. And so then she reached out again to Real Girls, and then Real Girls reached out to Jill, the one who produced the documentary for the second one. And then after that, that's how it just happened. It wasn't something we really, it wasn't something that we thought it was going to take. I didn't think it was going to, become this important or people would be this interested, or that it would still continue today, if that makes sense. But yeah, that's how it started. It started in middle school with us just going to like a summer technology camp and learning how to use a camera and how to voice and tell their story.
Thank you, Silviana. And I see a question coming also from Marcia and Doris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hi, congratulations on both videos and also for your work with Community Action. And it's really cool to hear that you've got some interest in going back to school. I was wondering if it was the AVID program you were in, was that what it was called in high school also? And I was wondering if there's any follow-up for students once they go to college.
For AVID, I was in AVID in middle school and then in freshman year, but then since when I was pregnant, I decided to do my homework at home, do the, I don't know if some of you might know it, but contract based. And then I was at home. And then when I went back to school in junior year, I couldn't join AVID again. So I don't know if that's okay. What you're talking about, but
I didn't know whether you were in a program in high school before you went to college. It sounds like you were not. But I was wondering what the follow through, if people in AVID who have been in AVID or have been in other programs in high school, if there's some continuation of the support once you finish high school and you start going to college.
From my friends, what I've known, they did keep up with their AVID teachers. Like some of the girls that were in AVID, I know they kept in touch with their AVID teachers and they did get support from them. But I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly what, but I know they did get somewhat of support and some things, the things that they learned in AVID did help them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Silviana. Okay, now we'll move to Susie. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Silviana, for being here. My question builds on Marcia's question, and that is, what do you think that colleges, like our local community colleges, could do to help support you coming back to school, and to help you and other young men and women in our local Hispanic community be able to stay in school?
What I think they could do, I know there is, I wasn't really involved in this club, but I know it, I can't remember what it was called, but I think is what kept me away from going back was the fear of failing again, the fear of not knowing how I would deal with going to college and dealing with my kids. I think there should be probably like for parents who want to go back to college, I think there should be a group maybe. Mm-hmm. So parents who are in college can, motivate each other and maybe mm-hmm. support each other and give, just be there for each other and know that they're not alone in being, college students and being parents outside of school.
Thank you. I can assure you.
Thank you, Cindy. I see the hand of Linda and then Rosemary. I think she has your hand up as well. So go ahead, Linda.
Hi, next. Okay. Well, this is a kind of a personal question, but I wanted to know if she's intending to have a really big family and how many more children she wants and if she's getting any support from the father.
No, I don't want a big... Well, I do want a big family, but as of right now, I decided we are family planning and we are not having any kids anytime soon because, like I said, I do want to go back to college and I love my children, but it's very difficult to be committed in college and also give my kids the full attention that they need. The father of my kids is involved in my life. He has been. He's the father of all three of my kids, and he's been a great support for me and has been there mentally, cheering me on and telling me that even though things didn't go as planned and I had a tough time in college, he's been there for me, and he still continues to encourage me to go back to school. And, yeah, but I don't plan on having any more kids. I know it might look like how do I say this? Like, I haven't learned from the first time of having my daughter, but I love my kids and my kids are my everything. And for them, I will go back to college and get the education that I need so I can have a better future for them and give them the support that they need.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rosemary?
Well, I wanted to tell Sylvia how much I appreciated the film. It gave me a lot more insight into the life of these young girls who are migrant workers or who work in the fields. And my question was, are you in touch with any of the other girls who made the film? And do you know how they're doing?
I'm not very in touch with them, but I do follow them on social media, and so I know somewhat of what's going on in their life, but not to the personal level, just of what I've seen. But for example, I know Teresa right now is living in Oaxaca. I don't know the reason behind that, but I just know that she's living there. And I know Anna, she was also one of the team moms. I know she's working at one of the elementary schools in Burlington. She's using her trilingual skills to help students who speak, who need help in Mixteco and Spanish, and, getting that support that they need. And Martha, I know she's working as, I think she's working as a, paralegal at a law firm somewhere in Seattle, but I'm not 100% sure about her job title. And then who else am I missing? And Lucia, the last thing I heard about was that she was still going to UW trying to earn her degree in education. So yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments? I don't see any. Yes, I see Sally again. Go ahead.
Sylviana, how many of the migrant girls, teen girls, actually, in your opinion, actually do graduate from high school, and then how many graduate from college? I mean, is it a pretty low percentage in the Hispanic community? What is your opinion? How do you feel about that?
I mean, yes, I do. And not like all Hispanics, because some Hispanics, I feel like it depends. I would say that the ones that have the toughest, time graduating or being motivated to even graduate are more of the Mixtec children, because it's hard. I mean, I know for me, it was hard for me to get it across my mom's, for my mom to understand that I needed to be in school, or that education was important. And especially for, like, I know me, a lot of people were so quick to judge me and to say that. I remember this one time they were saying, oh, yeah, usually Mixtec young girls get pregnant and they end up dropping out. Like, I'm not surprised that you're pregnant and that you know, that you're pregnant in school and having a kid. So I can't imagine what other girls feel, especially if they don't have the support that they need So Mixtec is, I'm reading a comment somebody asked. Mixtec is an indigenous group in Oaxaca. I don't know how to really explain it, but the Mixtec community is like an indigenous group in Oaxaca. It's like kind of like here, like there's Native Americans, but it's, you know, they're indigenous. It's like that in Mexico. I don't know how to really explain it. I'm sorry. But yes, it was very, I think it's very hard. It's very challenging, and not everyone's there to support, you know, minorities, and it's quite hard for them, but I know with the help of Migrant Leaders Club, I know it helped me a lot, especially because I had the support and I was able to find resources to help me and graduate and be motivated. But yeah, that's all.
And I see James. Yes, go ahead, James, please.
Yes, I was wondering whether you have adequate connectivity to the internet, and whether you have all the facilities you need to be conducting an education at home during this time of isolation.
Like education for my daughter?
For yourself or for your daughters. If you want to go to school, it's going to be online mostly.
And yes, I know. I wouldn't say I have right now I'm using my cell phone to be able to do this presentation and do the Zoom call. I don't really have the, like, you know, good adequate internet at home. We have the internet that's provided by Comcast, a $10 one, so it's not the best internet. But I do work with what I have, and I make it work for my daughter. And I haven't really done anything for myself education-wise currently. But if I were to go back to school, I think it would be challenging, and I would have to probably figure out a different way for me to, be able to connect to the internet and do my homework and stuff.
I had a second question for you. During the time that you were doing work in the fields, did you ever imagine yourself as a farmer or as a farm manager, and what you would do differently?
As a farmer or farm manager? No, but not as a farm manager, but I did think about maybe when I grow up, I'll bring, because there's a lot of kids in well, back then when it wasn't, how do I say it? Because back then people were able to take take their children, even when they were infants or when they were just walking. But now things have changed. But back then I did think about how I would probably take like toys or take some type of treat for the kids who were there, who were having a tough time, you know, being there picking berries or just, you know, going back and probably telling them that everything's going to be okay and that, you know, maybe even tell them, enjoy it because you're learning something. You're going to learn how to work hard and be determined to get what you need. And, you know, you'll have that skill for in the future.
Mm-hmm. Great questions. Thank you, James. I would like to also invite Donna and then Jeannie to participate. Thank you.
Silviana, thank you for your presentations. Very moving, and never underestimate the power of your voice. I saw your first video when we had it at the Community Action Advocacy Group, and it is so touching. And then you didn't mention the book. That was very exciting. We heard about it briefly in the documentary, but I'm very glad your mom recovered. I know you were all taking good care of her because that's very scary.
Yes, it was.
Terrible. It's so, you know, we all, just hearing from somebody personally is a real joy and you could say an advantage, because even though we all live next to each other and we might know some Hispanic people or some Oaxacan people, we rarely get a chance to just talk personally. So this is sort of like talking personally to a whole group of people. And thank you so much for taking your time and coming to talk to us, and really enjoyed it.
Thank you too, as well.
Yes, go ahead, Jeannie. Jeannie, you're next.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, I also wanted to say thank you. I know that it's really a difficult thing to sort of talk in public, even though you can't, you're not in public, but this is a weird way of communicating. But I really, really appreciate the courage that it takes. And there had been that question about what is Mixtec. And we, many, many, many of the people that are in Mount Vernon area, Skagit, are from Oaxaca. A great number of people from Oaxaca, and many of them sometimes from the same town. And it is like... I have friends in Oaxaca. I go there several times a year. And within we think of the Hispanic community, but just like every other group of people, there are different groups within that community. And the people who speak Mixtec, and we also have a lot of people who speak Triqui.
Yes.
Yeah, and so the complications of communicating are something that the larger white community doesn't really understand.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In
2013, I brought some Oaxacan women here, and we went to the middle school, and we talked to the AVID students, and the teacher said, how many of you are from families that are from Oaxaca? And not one of them raised their hand, even though they were all from Oaxacan-based families. And in the years that Janice Blackwell has, and the leaders, the Migrant Leaders Program has been working, I've seen kids standing on stage at the Lincoln Theater saying, "We are Oaxacans." Mm-hmm. And what a big change in their ability to express pride in who they are.
And that is a really, really good program.
Yes, it is.
I hope it's continuing because Ms. Blackwell is no longer there. I don't know. I don't know what's going on now at the school.
It's still continuing. The Migrant Leaders Club is still at the middle schools and the Mount Baker Middle School and La Venture and at the high school. I believe it's being ran by, I can't remember. I think his name is Marcos Morales. I think he's the one that's now taking charge of the whole Migrant Leaders Club and helping migrant students at all three schools. Good. From what I know.
Yes, and Edith Carillas. There's still two more people. I just want to also recognize the effort of many people in the community, whether they might be Hispanics or not. This place is full of concern and support for the Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. Dolly and I have been welcomed here very nicely. We feel part of it in many ways. And I wish more Hispanics would be interested in participating in our meeting. So you have a wide open invitation, Silviana, to you and anybody else that you think might be interested in this approach of working together and humanistic and spiritual principles. So you've gone a long way. Don't think that you, you have all the skills and the potential to keep on contributing quite a bit to the community. I see two more hands raised. Let's just go with those last ones. If anybody wants to, who's that? Yes, Elaine and then Marcia. I mean, Doris again.
So I wanted to ask Silviana if she knows if there's very many people from the area of Oaxaca that she's from that have been here, completed an education, and then use that, go back to the community that they came from to sort of help the transition if people decide to come back to the United States, if they have tools to make it easier.
No, I personally don't know anyone that's done that. There might be someone, but I haven't heard of anybody help somebody if that's over there transition to coming back here. Or no, I haven't. I don't think I've heard of somebody. There might be, and I just haven't heard of it, but no, I haven't heard of somebody doing that.
And Doris?
Yes. I wondered how you got involved to get a job at Community Action.
How I got a job, well, it's because since I wanted to, since I moved out and then I wanted to get back on my feet, I was just applying at different jobs. And Ms. Blackmore told me that there was a job opening and she told me just to go and apply. And I told her that I didn't finish college. And she said not to be scared that since I had like knowledge of, you know, I could that since I had knowledge working with people that probably I would get the job. And I applied, I was scared, and she said just do it and go for it, and I did it. And then I ended up getting an interview, and then I ended up getting the job, and that's why I started working there.
Thank you, Silviana.
Great, thank you.
Finally, let's have Mikey. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you, Silviana. I enjoyed your presentation. I was wondering, did you go to Skagit Valley College?
Yes, I went to Skagit Valley College because I had a scholarship there that I earned from the Champions of Diversity. So that's the college that I chose to go to. But it just didn't go as planned. It just didn't end up.
I was wondering if you joined the Calling All Colors Club for support.
I don't remember. Is that because I know there was two. There was one called Maestros para el Pueblo, but that I wasn't pursuing an education career, so I didn't really get involved in that one. And the Calling of Colors, I think I only went once to their group club thing, but I didn't really, how do I say? I didn't feel like I was like them, if that makes sense. They were just, I don't know, I felt like they didn't know what I was dealing with. Like, I couldn't connect with them, if that makes sense. Like,
right,
It wasn't the same as it was in high school and middle school with the club.
So you wanted a club that was more for family-oriented parents that are going to college, right?
Yes, and I also wanted more of a group of like, you know, Miss Tech students who were going there. Uh-huh. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to sound rude, but they had different things. Maybe they were dealing more with racial stuff or just like, you know, discrimination. But I was dealing with coming with an indigenous background, a different part of Mexico. And it was just difficult, you know, to connect with them.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like childcare has been an issue all along. Would you say that's a huge mountain that you keep climbing?
Yes, because it's been very tough for me with childcare because the system doesn't make it affordable for parents to want to work, or parents who want to, you know, have that extra income so they're able to save enough money to, you know, get a better home or not live in poverty. And, you know, but it's just been very rough for me. And it's always been challenging, but I always try to find a way to make things work and find the appropriate and adequate childcare that my kids need.
Okay, well, I'm sure that there's a lot of questions and concerns and ideas. All of them are certainly welcome. Just that we don't have the time right now. But we'll stay a little bit longer and let's keep on this conversation about how to help the Hispanic community. Jolie and I are involved in also helping parents, learning a bit more about co-parenting. And Silviana has been invited to our workshop and she took it. And we're thinking about expanding that to the Hispanic community somehow. That wouldn't be related to courts cases. And I think we have a really interesting thing to offer. So we'll be working with that. And with that, let's go to our last song for today. It's going to be called A Partir de Mañana, Starting Tomorrow, with Alberto Cortez.